Welcome back, everybody. We are recording live today from San Francisco, from the Bay Area, because we have a very special guest in the building coming all the way from Australia. You guys might know him most recently as the producer for Raf Sapera's hit song Patola that released last year, but obviously he's been in the game for a long, long time. We're very excited to have him. DJ Jessa in the building, ladies and gentlemen. Very special guest.
Thanks for having me, boys. Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure. Hi to all of your viewers of the podcast. Been watching your podcast, some of your episodes. You guys are doing a sick job. Keep at it.
Appreciate it.
Keep repping the culture, man. You guys are killing it.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. How's your trip been? You mentioned this is your first time in America, right?
Yeah, first time over here in the States. Obviously, heard a lot about America and perception of America is based on Hollywood movies and whatnot.
So it's
interesting coming over here and actually seeing these cities. Well, California. And then, met up with a bunch of friends that I've known for years and years, but, you know, never had the pleasure to meet face to face. So, yeah, it's been a good trip. Been here for about 5 days, traveled all over. I mean, went to Sacramento, Fresno, and then obviously here in San Francisco. So it's been fun, man. Enjoyed it thoroughly. Weather's been good as well. So,
yeah.
Weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's a funny. When people say, like, you know, they've only seen Cali through Hollywood.
Yeah.
I was like, when you come to Yuba City, you're like, I don't know about Hollywood.
It's very different. Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing about California. It's very diverse.
Yeah.
There's the whole state. You can get anything you can get.
Yeah. You know. And the food is wow. I've been in food heaven for the last couple of days,
did seafood taste here anything like different?
You know what? I'm not going to lie, I didn't have any of their seafood. I've tried everything because everyone back home has been like, oh, you got to try, you know, like, you got to try the Mexican food. In-N-Out and all these different places. So I was like, their seafood, I got to yak and have
that one. Mexican food.
Oh, so good. My cousins live in Fresno, just out of Fresno, in Sanger. And they were saying the closer you go to Mexico, like, head towards the border, the more authentic the food is.
Definitely.
But yeah, man, we got some Mexico on Super Bowl day and it was bloody good. It was so good. It was really, really good. Some of the best. I'll say it was the best Mexican I've had in my life.
That's great.
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah. Especially out in Australia.
Yeah. We get Mexican food and stuff, but it's very like the commercial stuff.
Oh, okay.
Like the, you know, like Taco Bell's been there for a couple of years now. So. Yeah. That's as authentic we'll probably get. There are some pockets, you know, but overall, this is, it's been great. The food here has been so good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. Like, I guess in terms of, like, the Punjabi music scene, like you said, you've, I don't know if you were you at the SAC Bash last week?
Yeah. So, yeah. That was sort of just a last minute trip. So a friend of mine, G Sidhu, who's doing really well in the industry at the moment, I just ran, he came up on my Instagram that he was performing in Sacramento. So I went to Google Maps, I'm like, how far is Sacramento from San Francisco? So it was like, I think it's like a couple of hours. It's not too far. So my cousin picked me up, then we drove to Sacramento. But yeah, it was a good vibe. The organizers done a great job and there was a great crowd. Everyone was dressed up in like traditional corte, corte,
paisi,
kuriana, and it was just a good vibe. And then obviously we hung out before the show and then, you know, Moga was there as well. So yeah, it was a great experience because we don't get to see these artists perform on stage that often in Australia. Like, there'll be a tour, but it was great to see that vibe, you know.
I mean, that culture is probably, Australia probably got something, right?
Yeah, it's different because, like, our community is still growing. I'd like to say we're still, like, maybe a good, you know, 7 to 10 years behind Canada, UK and US. So our population is growing, you know, more and more. Sort of kids are sort of getting into our culture, but yeah, it's good to see here it's fully flourishing, and it was a good night. enjoyed by my time there. We caught up and yeah.
How long have you been in Australia for?
Born and bred.
Oh wow.
Yeah, Tedejampal. So yeah, my parents, my mum's actually born in Australia as well.
Oh wow.
So my nanaji came in years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started with farming. And then
what kind of farming is that in Australia?
So back then it was tamaku, so tobacco farming.
Mm-hmm.
And then sugar cane. Nowadays it's more sort of berries, raspberries, blackberries. There's still a lot of sugar cane farming up north as you go up north. But that's sort of the main sort of agricultural sort of
it's like Canada, a lot of people in like Abbotsford and stuff are like those like a blueberries
farming. Yes.
Yeah.
So, so blueberries, so there's a place in Australia called Woolgulga, which is near Coffs Harbour, very strong, Punjabi community there, very sort of condensed. A lot of them are blueberry farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, I always see that they're always traveling over here, back and forth, and Canada to sort of, you know, because there's a lot of blueberry farms over here as well. So they,
yeah.
They must, you know, come over and check out what the scene is like over here and whatnot. So, yeah, it's good.
That's cool. I mean, you can't take the Punjab. The Punjabi out of Punjab.
Yeah.
Right? He's still, true. Figured it out in Australia.
I think, the people that have, Kheti already in their blood, they're going to do it no matter what, whether you're in, India, Punjab, or whether you're in Australia or California, Canada. So, it's good that, people are sort of continuing that family sort of
The culture.
Exactly. Yeah. So
and then you're from Australia. There's not much of a scene out there, but you're still you're pushing
we're giving it a good shot, giving it a go. It's sometimes I think it's it can be to our advantage as well as our disadvantage being surrounded by water, not having any. I mean, New Zealand, there are neighbors, but other than that, it's just jare paase pani exactly.
Yeah.
So being so far away, we're so far away from the scene, where it's all happening. But in the other regard, it's good because we stand out a bit more when we do something.
Right.
So obviously, so when artists, there's you've probably heard of a few artists from Australia, but they're from Australia. And,
I know Pat Daria. He's from Australia.
He's from Australia as well. He's done really well over the years. And then there's a whole new sort of, I think, we're about 7-10 years behind Canada, UK, US. But I think in the next couple of years, you'll see a lot of producers, a lot of singers coming out of Punjab. It's sort of, I know it sounds cliche, but I think it's going to be our time. So, with the population that's growing and then people migrating, it's bound to happen, right? Everyone's going to be doing berry farming.
Yeah.
People are doing other things as well.
They got you, right? They got you to look up to.
I don't know if I'll still be doing it.
how are you exposed to it? How did it all start?
I think it was just through my parents, basically. We had I'm sure a lot of people, VHS tapes and gas dancing in Punjab. I used to be really big on it, the New Year's program, Nove Sada program. If someone went to India, I'd be like, Nove Sada program, then it was just exciting because it was five or six different singers, new songs. And then, so I think just
could be, I saw your YouTube channel and your YouTube page, and you have recordings of old, you have a Jamkila tape on there.
Yeah.
That thing went viral on YouTube.
I sometimes, because I uploaded it maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, no, it's from a while
ago. So I went through a whole phase where I'd convert these VHS tapes to digital and then upload them. And then, it was cool. There was one that Sadul mimics as well.
We actually just saw that video maybe last year.
Yeah.
And
it's crazy. What he was,
capable of.
Yeah.
Just He's to legend. Even think of something that, during that time with no social media, that's what people copy nowadays. He's doing that
He was.
It says more to like it's just his vocals.
So just uploading those videos and then just that sort of it slowly built and built and built. It was sort of
It's cool because I mean, there's like this random video. I thought it was just hella funny. The Chabgila swearing one. Oh, yes. So random, and I was just like, damn, that's like you know, like but people know Chabgila more, right? And I was like, that's sick. Like,
so, and it was I just randomly put it on YouTube, but it's like I don't know. I think it's over a million views or something.
No, yeah, there
something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
I can check. For a while.
Because like a lot of VHS tapes now too, like I've been trying to like
digitize
yeah, some. You need to get onto that.
And
yeah.
like they're all like a lot of them I'll put in the VHS player and they'll just not work.
Yeah, it's, yeah, faster than yeah. Because or they're getting old, right?
Yeah.
So
you gotta get on it
yeah,
now.
Thanks for the reminder. I need to get onto some
yeah.
more.
Yeah, I mean we have the Yuba City Mela. Out here.
Oh yeah, really, I've heard of that. And yeah. then it is quite yeah, big as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. City as well.
See,
yeah.
back in Australia, we've heard of these things.
Yeah.
Like obviously now through the power of social media, a bit more. But yeah, like the Yuba City Mela, like it's supposed to be one of the biggest mela, right?
It was. Yeah. I think just like maybe just with like social media, you know, now there's yeah. more melas, right? It's not like the same thing. But
yeah.
like back in the day, I think like you know. They were able to bring out like you know more artists because it wasn't like you know it wasn't really a thing.
Okay,
yeah,
interesting.
But back in the day, I do remember like a lot of artists would you know show up at these events. Like they would be you know they would be there, but not with like not invited, yeah. but just there with
just
like the singer.
Maybe.
Yeah, and it was like a kind of like a hub, kind of like how Sac Punjabis there. Like
yeah,
you weren't invited, but you came up and you know, like that kind of scene is cool.
Yeah,
it's that's a cool scene, right?
Because
there.
We like I said, we don't get that back home, mm-hmm. so it's and I can only imagine what Canada is like.
Oh man,
yeah.
So people are like, yeah, you got to come to Vancouver and Toronto. Oh, we'll tell you, Javange.
Yeah,
I've
no,
never been to Canada either, so
yeah, Vancouver.
So, yeah.
Vancouver is. Yeah, it's definitely a place to check out.
Yeah definitely. On the cards.
Yeah.
Surrey, especially.
Surrey, yeah. Brampton. Nice. Yeah.
King
yeah.
Road.
Yeah.
Or King George Road, I think.
Yeah.
It's Scott's Road or something?
Scott Road.
Scott
I think
Road.
Is
yeah.
in Toronto.
Yeah, Scott Road is the main one. I always remember King George was Scott
nice.
Road is the one. Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's interesting how the scene has kind of shifted over time, like from producing artists starting in Punjab and then the UK was really big in like the 90s, early 2000s. And I think now, like, you're seeing so many artists pop up out of Canada, whether it's Brampton, like, Sidhu was based out of Canada, Shub, Sukha, like, all these younger guys that are coming up. And it would be sick if that shift next up happened in Australia. And I think that would be,
I think
that'd be really cool.
I think it's bound to happen.
Yeah.
Like, when that's, you know, it'll be interesting to see, but I think it's already started. Started.
Even out in California, there's not a ton of. I feel like the producing game is slowly like starting up, right?
So California, you guys are very spread out here, right?
Yeah. So
it's like where there's like a dense Punjabi population, you'll find I think that sort of it's accelerated in that area.
Maybe yeah.
And then places like here, Australia, where it's where so like there'll be a big population of Punjabis here, big over there, but it's not all in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like Vancouver is just like Toronto.
It's concentrated.
You go to Brampton, you'll be like, okay,
it's
now I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll be like, oh, I get it now.
So I think it'll happen. Like I've already noticed, like there's a bunch of young kids coming through that I've been in contact with over the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
That have like sent me their music and you know I've sort of spoken to very looking very good, like the future is looking like you know it's gonna be quite bright. But you know the other thing is like how much of it do you take on, like can you do it full time, can you drop your work, can you make it a career? In most cases I'm gonna say no at the start. Because you know you still got to go to university, you know, have jobs, and sometimes parents are like,
How did that start for you? Like you said, you got exposed at a young age. You know, you're getting these cassettes, but like, how do you make the transition to be like, you know, I want to try my hand at making music, especially because like technology isn't like it is today where you can like
anybody can do
just
it
just produce on like you know on a freaking like a freaking computer, back then it's a little more I mean especially if you're working with
I think so. I first sort of started my first sort of entry into the whole music thing was I think it was DJing.
Mm-hmm.
So just sort of like family parties and, you know, there was a few individuals where I live in Brisbane that were DJing.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a group called Bunga Nights, Bindi and Corbs were in that group.
You got like a year? Like what year that was?
This would have been like 2000. Like they've been DJing from the days where like early 90s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. So they had cassettes. So they used to. Like to play the next song, they had to put a pen in and rewind it and then play the song at a wedding reception.
Yeah, no, sort definitely. Of thing.
So, and then obviously vinyls and stuff. But yeah, they'd been DJing from the early 90s through to like the early 2000s. I graduated from high school in 2002.
Okay.
And that's sort of the same time I sort of started noticing these guys at parties and whatnot. So I used to go to parties, weddings, and I was like, oh, wow. That's pretty cool, you know, making people dance and the whole, you know, having all that power at your fingertips to be able to control the narrative of a party.
Yeah, you know, no, definitely.
Okay, cutting it, let's chill, let's play something,
yeah.
And then, you know, ramping it up again. So that was pretty cool. And then I sort of just, you know, approached these guys. I was like, hey, can I join you guys? I am like diehard music. Like I was like obsessed with music, like to the point where like, I didn't go to university because I was just like focused on downloading the latest albums, looking at album covers and, you know, like just stuff like that. So yeah, I was just like through the end of my high school, I was just downloading, come home from school, just download. That's just when the internet sort of
started blowing up around that time too.
Sites like Dollaholic, Pure Punjab, and back in the day there's all these websites, but there were message boards. And that's interesting. I know I'm going off on a tangent, but that's how I know G Sidhu.
Oh, wow.
He used to own a website called Dollaholic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I remember that site. Yeah. That's so old, yeah.
His name, like, I still call him Gary, but it was Gary Sidhu.
Okay.
And he had, there was a feature on the site where they had message boards and people would interact with each other. It's like, this album, talking about albums.
Yeah, it's a forum.
Yeah, forum, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I, little old me in Australia, like, I was so excited because it was like, oh, everything's happening in America, Canada, UK. So we communicate over the forums and yeah, we just stayed in touch over the years. The next thing he's singing and he's got a sick voice. I was like, wow, sort of thing. So
he's got a good voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's sort of going back to what I was talking about, just sort of got into DJing and then from DJing got into remixing. I made a few remixes back in the day of De La Guerra.
Oh, yeah.
Called it something corny like De La Spin or something like that. It's just, you know, teenage humor.
Yeah.
And then a few other mixes like Gippy's Fulgari I remixed. And then it went on because I was pretty close to Jyoti Delu from Planet Records.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he helped me quite a bit. He got some of my mixes on some of their...
How did you come to meet him?
It's all about MSN Messenger, bro. Wow. MSN. Yeah,
now
the
internet right there.
Yeah, wow. It was all MSN. And like, it was, I was like a young Punjabi guy, you know. And let's face it, Australia was like, we didn't have much access to that music. And then when the internet opened up, it was like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got all this music at our fingertips now. So yeah, just sort of got some of my remixes out there. And then that led to production. I was like, you know, if I can remix music, I can give production a try as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, one thing led to another. And then I was producing music. So
what was the first thing you dropped?
So the first production was Bakshi Billa's album.
Really? That was the first one?
Yeah. Yeah. Namaja. So I'm sure you've heard of Mophylactic.
Yeah, I've heard of Mophylactic.
From Melbourne. So... he was a good friend of mine. His name's Sandeep Sands, we called him. He was also DJing in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
So we both happened to go to India one year. I was going for my cousin's wedding. He was marrying Mangi Mahal's sister.
Oh, wow.
So you can imagine this big wedding in Jalandhar and there's all these singers, Surinder Shinders there.
Wow.
Like at the time, I think Jazzy was there. it's too many singers to name. It was just like crazy. So we went to, like, obviously this is sort of my first sort of, you know, meeting singers and that sort of thing, all because of the wedding. And then I was like, me and Sands or Mofalacta were like, all right, let's get some vocals recorded. So we booked a studio in Mirtapur, I think in Jalandhar. Mangi Baji helped, yeah. So this was my new sort of contact in the industry as well, as well as being my puppy's brother.
I randomly met the guy at a mall once. He was like, he was having a and I was in Punjab.
Okay.
But I was just like, oh my god, like this this fool is just having like a meet and greet at some random mall, and I was like,
there you go.
It's picture with this fool, man.
Yeah. So there you go.
That's badass.
That's
a connect.
So he just worked there, and then he knew all these singers. So we were like, oh, we want to get Baji, we want to get Sarangi done. He knew a Sarangi musician. We need to get Tumbi done. And it was funny because the guy he recommended for Tumbi was Bakshi Billa.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So we were like, okay. And then he came into the studio. We done Tumbi. We recorded Tumbi. This is 2005, 2006.
And he, Bakshi Billa is not like on the map yet, right?
No. So he's one of those guys that have, sort of just, I don't know, I think it's maybe the commercial aspect. You know, these days it's all about the, you know, like, you know, Gucci, Gachi, whatever. So he came to the studio, he played Tumbi, and then it just, he goes up, goes, I've been doing chorus for Sabjit Kaur. Kaldeep Manik Saab for these years. So okay, so he sang a song and we just got away. We're like, whoa, what just happened? So he sang a few songs, we recorded his vocals and a whole bunch of other vocals. I think we recorded like 20-30 vocals back then, and then we came back and then I listened back to his vocals and I was like, wow, this is crazy. Like he was, I was like, wow, Lember?
He has a video with him and Lember singing like the UK. Have you ever seen that? Him
on stage?
It's Bakshi Billa and it's Lember singing together.
Yeah,
and it's just one. And it's just like, I'm like, this fool, like, how did no one even know this?
Yeah, he's like an undiscovered gem, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, like came back and then I was like, I need more vocals of Bakshi Billa. And then and then at that same time, I was talking to VIP Records, Vips, who's unfortunately not with us anymore. He passed away a couple of years ago.
Oh, shit.
But yes, I always remember he's the first guy that gave me a chance. I sent him a couple of samples and he literally like said, yeah, we'll release your music. We'll pay for your music videos, et cetera, et cetera. So wow. I'm like, wow. For me, that was a big thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, you know, you're growing up, you're a teenager, you know, you don't have money saved up to do music videos and stuff.
Yeah. So, and you're, you know, the funny thing is I was replaying it recently. I mean, I saw your face and I'm like, that's you in the music video.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I had a lot more hair back then. I was a lot skinnier as well.
Yeah. I was like, you're like the main act in there.
Yeah. It was fun. I mean, that was a whole different vibe as well. The whole music shoot going over there. I went with a couple of friends. We drove from Jalandhar to Chandigarh, middle of the night. You know, it was in this paddock, like nothing was there. And then they switched on all the lights and then you see these Bhangra dancers coming. And yeah, it was a great vibe.
That song is like, in 2009, one of my cousins got married. And that was like, I remember, it was 2009 when it dropped, I think, right?
What was that, sorry?
It came out in 2009?
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember, because I remember Unforgettable came out that year.
Imran Khan?
And then, and then your Nachne Na Maza was like, this, you know, that those were like the
you got bangers, memory, man. You got
good
memory.
Bangers of that year.
It was I think it was like it's a different sort of sound as well for that time. It was quite messy.
It's folk.
Yeah,
we're folk.
Yeah.
But like it's like soup. It's I would say super folk. But yeah. Like, it's yeah.
So it was. Yeah, it was a sort of different. It's like Patola. Like we talk about that as well. But like even Patola is a bit of a step back from the music that's out these days.
For sure, definitely.
That's a big part of the success of Nachne Na Maza as well. But yeah, that was sort of fast forwarding a bit. Bakshi sent over a couple of vocals. I said, Paji, let's release an album. Send me some vocals. So he sent like 8 or 9 vocals. I think Sands or Mofalacta.
Is that album like, I mean, you're not the only producer on there. There's
Paldi.
Yeah, Paldi.
Yeah. So he, I was once again MSN, right? That's how, you know, we communicated back then. So I said to Paldi, I said, do you want to do a track of the album? I'll give you a vocal for it and you can use that on your album. So he said, fine. So
I think the song's like Hortbeg, right?
For yeah, Paldi. Hortbeg, yeah. Hortbeg of Paldi, Hortbeg
of Paldi.
And then he, again, Aja Pabi. No, dude, that album is like,
I hit up one of my buddies because me and him were just like big on it. I'm like, dude, I'm about to interview the guy who did Nachin at Midnight. He's like,
who's that?
Bro. Yeah. No, he's like, oh, bro, like, that was like, I mean, I was like 19 when that came out. So it was like prime, like,
yeah,
you know, that's like when you're like doing Bhangra. Like,
yeah, yeah. You know. So you're only a couple of years younger than me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was around that sort of age.
I know, like, if Umar was here too, he would have been like, because we were like, dude, Nachin and the Mazza is like, that was the
Has a slams. Our co host couldn't make it today, but he also has a song with Bakshi Bilare, Pota Jakta, I think.
Yeah, I heard that. Is that the one that they shot? He's always in the gym and he plays that song, right? It's very loud.
It's a pretty loud song.
I heard that. It's a good song, that one.
Yeah. That Bakshi. So you put that fool on the map. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then years after that, Sornet and Year came out with Manny Sandhu and stuff.
I was gonna say, like, that song.
But yeah, that we done that. And then from that some more projects flowed and
That's cool. Like, I mean, that album, it's not just only you dropping the music. You had like
various artists. Yeah, we're trying to sort of do our thing. Like, at that stage, like, Pav wasn't, he hadn't started singing or anything yet. It was just, I think before me, there was a guy called Mintu. Like, he's from like the early 90s, late 90s. He had a song called Munda Didgeridoo Baja Gaya. Yeah, you got to check it out, YouTube. So, you know, Didgeridoo is a big
instrument. Australian.
And then after that, like, from memory, I don't think there were any other producers that were doing this. So it was for me, it was just like, whatever.
There's this guy we've actually brought from the Medla. He does Shabad Kirtan. Like, his name's like Daya Singh.
Daya Singh from Melbourne, yes.
Yeah, and he has that. One of the guys can't pronounce it right, but he like, so it makes so it makes those cool sounds and like
Uncle G is quite popular in Australia as well, so he does a lot of programs. His daughters sing as well. So one of his daughters, Parvin, I seen a video like the other day. She does a lot of crossover fusion stuff as well. So they're repping as well. They're doing a really good job.
They have really good music.
Yes,
it's not just like, you know, Baja Harmonium. It's like violin, guitar, and then the
Digdoo. They mix it up quite a bit, which is so cool. You know, because you get some other people listening to it other than your traditional, like,
we actually met him randomly. We met him at some festival like 40 minutes from Yuba City, like randomly
World Music Festival sort of thing.
It's like some hippie like type of like festival, and it's like, you know, like he's like singing, I think he sings like Mast Kalandar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like people are like just, you know,
vibing out.
You're just like the last place you expect, you know, this guy to be.
Exactly. Yeah. It's pretty cool, man. Now they've done really well.
That's cool.
Yeah. You mentioned Patola, right? That's probably what, last year it was a big hit. And you said like, it was kind of a step back from what the majority of Punjabi music nowadays in the modern era is being produced. Like, how did that sort of come about? Like, how did you get in touch with Raf? Like, what was the story behind that track?
So Raf reached out to me early last year.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just planning his world tour, which sort of, I think it started in Australia.
Mm-hmm. I think he performed at the Opera House.
That's right. Yeah. So before that, we knew about each other, like very minimal sort of communication. Once again, he knew me from Nachin and the Mazza. So he knew that I had produced it. So he reached out to me. He knew I was from Australia and he asked me, he goes, look, I'm hitting Australia soon. We've got a few shows planned around the country, but there's one in particular at the Opera House that I want to do a live set for.
Mm-hmm.
So I want some live instruments. So yeah, basically reached out and asked if I could help him with getting a few musicians together.
Mm-hmm.
So we done exactly that. We rehearsed a few times, a couple of days before the show and whatnot. And yeah, the show went well. While he was there, we spoke. I showed him some of the music that I was working on and whatnot. There was one beat in particular that he really liked. It was like proper folk.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much it was Patola, but it wasn't Patola. It was like we'd done a lot of stuff afterwards, but it was, you could tell that it was a very folk orientated track. So
mm-hmm.
He liked the beat. Then he was like, let's do something. Went back to the UK and then we just sort of started looking at lyrics and whatnot. And then hit up Jaggi Jagowal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
He's good, man.
Yeah.
He's a good writer. Very good writer. I was like, Padhya Daya beat Aya. The singer Aya. The Karogo.
So they do it like that. They look at the singer and then they like
understand the beat.
Yeah, a lot of singers have different styles and vocal tones and whatnot. So he then, I guess, he pictured that in his mind and he sent this vocal, all the lyrics. And then, Raf was like, yeah, lock it in.
That's wild. That's it awesome. Happens like
yeah.
that. I thought it, like, sometimes you hear, like, you get the vocals and you curate a track maybe, like, around it.
Well, traditionally, that's what I've done. Like, I prefer hearing a vocal and then making music, which is, it's interesting because I feel, and I need a good vocal.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just have my dad singing or anyone like that. Someone to sing. And then that sort of, it gives you a bit of energy to make the music. Like, oh, yeah, you're chucking some sarangi there or tumbi, that sort of thing, right? So I traditionally needed the vocal first and then I made music. But this was something different for me as well. So mm-hmm. I already had this beat made. And then we had got the lyrics afterwards. So a few minor adjustments. Added a few things, played around, and then, sent it over. Raf was happy with it. One thing I'll say about Raf, he's a perfectionist,
mm-hmm.
which is good.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you need to be successful, right. Especially in this game. He wasn't just like, let's just release it, whatever. We sort of went back and forth a few times.
Mm-hmm.
The time difference didn't really help
either. Yeah, that was probably tough.
Yeah, so, and then, Bula was born, and then he made a video like that. I think he performed at a Boiler Room before his tour started over this North American side of the tour started, and Young Singh played it at Boiler Room when it was a big crowd, got a great response, and then I think the rest is sort of history. Got a good response, a lot of Bhangra teams hopped on board as well.
It's like when you had Natrane the Mazar,
So with the music, I like to think of it as a very similar vibe to Nachin the Maja, especially like the bass line and whatnot. I sort of tried to model it off Nachin the Maja because I knew Raf liked that song, which is how he knew about me. And I was like, okay, I don't want to make it sound exactly like Nachin the Maja, but I'll keep it in the same ballpark.
Right.
I'm pretty blessed and grateful that everyone took it on board and, here's to more music in the future coming soon. Yeah.
You also in the intro, we learned from like Slams how like Jelly Manjeetpuri is like the intro.
He's the intro man of Punjab.
He's the intro for that.
Yeah. He's like the MC of Punjab.
He does a lot of tumbi recordings for a lot of the music industry. And then for sarangi, my go-to is a sarangi player called Kanga. Kanga Paji lives in Punjab as well. So I hit them up for the piecework. So we basically guys just sent the empty track beat with the vocals and they sort of add their flair, their touch. And then with Jelly Paji, he's known for that. He Nag too, I think he done as well.
Mm-hmm. Dude, he's done so many.
It's like,
he's done like a man, like one I really like. I mean, I mentioned in the last podcast, he has a, for Manny Sandhu, he does an intro for him. And I think this album came out in like 2014, 2015.
Is that the song that he sings as well?
I don't know if he sings it, but he does like an intro.
Okay.
And that's cool. It was, I mean, he
just gives the track a great start. Like, you fire that up, you hear that trip, boom, all right.
It, like, sets the tone.
Yeah. I actually didn't think about it. Nog, too, that's him doing the intro.
Him. But he's iconic. And it's not like you hear it once, you get over it. Like, you could hear it in, and I think he's on Jazzy's new album, a new EP as well.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's on there as well. So, Cobra, yeah, he sort of, that's his sort of, like, I guess he's a party trick.
Yeah.
So, like, I went to his Kobe and I was like, I knew he'd done the intros. I was like, but you can never hear it.
He's talented. But he's also vocally talented.
I like his vocals.
He's vocally talented. So, when you hear vocals, that, like, it's like
it's a deep, Punjabi bar.
You get too high.
So, he's an all-rounder, man. So, yeah, he done the intro. I left it to him. First take he sent, he called me Jasper or something. Jasper. I thought, you know, Jasper. And then he mispronounced Raph's name as well. So, he just re-recorded it and bang.
That's Desi comedy. Yeah. That's like how it is in India.
Exactly, You got to literally, like, spell it out.
Yeah.
Because Jasper isn't like a normal name, or he's like, what the hell is he talking about? It's funny, just on that, in Australia, we have an airline called Jetstar.
Jetstar,
So I get confused with the airline. Once I got this booking, like, because I DJ, right? I'm still DJ. And then this guy called me up, he goes, I just want to cancel the booking for next Friday. And I looked at my calendar, I was like, I didn't have a booking for next Friday. And he's like, yeah, we're flying out at about, and I still didn't click. I'm like, what's this guy talking about? And he's like, we're flying. And then it clicked. I was like, he's talking about the airline. And I was like, sorry, I'm a Punjabi DA from Brisbane. I'm not a national airline carrier.
That's wild.
So, yeah.
How did you come up with that name, Jester?
Well, initially, like, when I done all these, like, Bakshi Builder songs, Nachane Na Maja, and I done quite a few, actually, songs under the alias just Karan Gosal.
Mm-hmm.
And then my DJ name was DJ Jester all along from the start.
Oh, okay.
It was just like, when I was young, my parents called me Jesse, and I was like, I want to be a star when I grow up. Jester.
That's good.
So pretty corny, but
that's a cool
name.
And then I don't know what came into my mind. I was like, I want to separate my production name, just Karan Gosal, and keep it separate, and keep my DJing where I can do parties as DJ Jester.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a while I done that, and then I was like, you know, it makes sense to just have the same name, so people don't associate me with, he's the DJ that produced that song.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Like, I'm not Superman. I don't need two identities, you know? So I just went back to DJ Jester, and then we've done a bunch of tracks under that name. So that's how DJ Jester came about.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Yeah. Like, going back to Patola, like, even when Raph was promoting it, he was talking about what I was saying earlier about how in the modern or postmodern age, like, it's a lot of hip hop, a lot of trap music, R&B and Punjabi, which is great, right? You see the evolution. But I think Bhangra music, folk music, the way it was back in like 2009, isn't as popular as it is now. So it was really cool seeing like a classic Bhangra folk, like dance floor banger type track like Patola, like get the love and the reception that it did, because it showed that like Bhangra music, while it might not be as popular as it was back in the, you know, early 2000s, or, you know, like maybe even in the 90s, like it still hits. You know?
Yeah, I think it's at the end of the day, like, it's still like, it's where we come from, right?
It's our core. It's our core.
It's our roots.
And I can tell, you know, by talking to you guys, you guys love that sound as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you might listen to a bit of like Punjabi trap or whatever.
No, we all listen to that.
I mean, for me personally, like, I'll listen to it in small doses. Yeah. Like, you need to be something different for your ears. You know, you need to mix it up or whatever. But like, just hearing a sarangi on a tall beat with a bit of a beeline and, you know, a bit of a tonaka in the background, you know, that, it's just can't beat it.
Yeah.
And I think, like, so I think, so to make the music, a lot of music that comes out these days, you can get samples, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to get a drummer into a studio. You don't need to necessarily know how to play bass lines or riffs and whatnot. So it's easier to access these sounds, like you can buy them online. So I think people are like, yeah, I can, you know, do this. I'll just do it. And then there's a lot of people doing it at the same time. Because it's so accessible now and it's easier to make music. You just buy a laptop, headphones or whatever. But to make that, there's a lot more work involved in making like a desi track. Whether it's bhangra or whether it's like a slower, sad song even. You still got to go to the studio, record a flute in the same, in the right rag, in the right tempo. You can't buy a sample.
Is there, are there any instruments that you play, like specifically for your music?
So I play tumbi, play bajja, tol. I wouldn't say I'm like a tol master.
I saw in like some videos too on your YouTube account, you sing too.
After a couple of beverages, after a couple of coffees, maybe, or read what you want into that. Just fun with the boys, you know. Like if
I saw you on stage at one point doing.
Don't remind me. just a bit of fun, like
that's cool.
Yeah. Like I think the whole, you know,
but like that kind of style is also like why like we love like folk Punjabi music.
Yeah.
Like you don't even have to have like the most like, you know, best voice. Yeah. It's just you gotta have
a passion for it. Yeah. Right.
You hear that sometimes, that passion in the voice. When,
Exactly. And like I'm not necessarily like world class tolli. I'm not a world class tumbi or harmonium musician, but I know enough to for what I need. Mm-hmm. So I know what my limits are, and I know, okay, if I can't do this, I'll just get someone else to do it. So with tumbi that I got, I was originally going to play on patola, but I was like, no, the sound quality, because Jelly Paji's got this like great setup. He does his day in, day out. So I was like, no, let's not try and, you know, I'm not going to try and pump my own balloon. I'll just get Jelly Paji because that's his thing.
That's his thing.
You got to know your limits sort of thing as well at the same time. But
that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And going back to your original comment, it's, I think folk music is going to come back.
Yeah.
I think, especially this year, even I've heard a few interviews of some of the producers that make this modern music saying we're going to go back to tol, tumbi, sarangi. Because that's what we're made up of, you know. Yeah. That's the fabric that we come from.
Yeah, it's our
like,
roots.
Like talking about G Sidhu, he has like his last two albums, he's dropped like a folk track. I think
Lilgare, was it?
Yeah, Lilgare. And then he has one, it's like when I forget, it's like clunking of like glasses, I forget the name.
Moonshine.
That's such a good song. And that's like
that's a banger.
It's such a good, just the clunking of the glasses sounds good.
Exactly.
It's got a tone, different vibe.
So he's another guy, I think he's just bubbling, he's about to blow up, I reckon. His voice is like,
it's incredible.
No, his voice,
remarkable voice. We're cooking up something as well.
That's exciting. So I was going to ask. I was like, you know each other for a long time.
I've been on his back. I was like, we need to do something. And then finally we got around to like finding some lyrics. We sort of mucked around with a few beats and stuff. So
we expect something soon.
In the pipeline. Something different. Something different as well. Okay. I know it's cliche. Every producer says we're going to be something different.
Yeah.
But this will be something different. So here we go.
Yeah. There's always something. Just like that. Folk sounds.
Folk that's music. It. Yeah. No. I mean,
and just that whole recording thing. Because I was like listening to it, just like a recent song. I don't think I've heard it for like a few years, but it was like I think it's called like Jannat by this like a artist from the UK, and he has like Sunil Kalyan doing the percussion. And his like. Just that, the music, everything else could be fake, but it's like, it's
crazy, man. It's, like, he's
elevates the whole freaking song.
It makes a big difference. And like, even a person that might not be musically inclined will still notice that. Like,
it comes
that's
through.
The power of it.
So
you could play something, you know, for your chacha or taya that doesn't know Jack. But he'll still have tabla, whatever. That sort of thing. You know, it'll shine.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a G, man. Sunil Kalyan, Jagira, some of these musicians from the UK are just crazy. And we have musicians in Australia as well, but like they don't get the limelight sometimes because mm-hmm. we're so far away. Like I said, we're still growing as a community, yeah. but yeah, I think that time will come.
Yeah.
That's cool.
No.
You want
I was just going to say like the folk music, like it was so sick to hear that track. It was like they have like the Spotify Wrapped or the Apple Music Wrapped. Like that was my Patola was my number one listened to track last
year. That's sick. That's
yeah.
sick, man.
Because like something about like when you hear this from the very start, like you hear the Algoze, right? And then you hear Jelly just go like Jatavicha Anna Jordan.
Yeah, just
like
just hyped it up. Right?
I can't skip it after that. I'm just like I have this to listen crazy. To this now. Yeah. I love that track. Man.
It's cool. It's cool to hear that.
Yeah.
Like me sitting in my little bedroom in Australia, making it, and from that to sitting in California to you saying that is just mind blowing, man.
Yeah.
Like
you touch a lot of people.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah. And like I said, it's not like I'm not here to make millions from it.
Right.
I probably won't make much money from music production, but it's something that keeps me sane, keeps me connected.
Mm-hmm.
And if, like it's not commercial, I get it, it's not that commercial sometimes, but I don't care.
It's authentic though, right? It's real.
The OG
it's
personal.
And the fact that you guys remember the track is a big thing as well, because you know what, the lifespan of a track these days, I'm sure there's some tracks that will go and they'll be big,
mm-hmm.
but like a lot of songs just get lost, like a lot of my songs as well. I'm not gonna say I'm different, but a lot of my songs are sort of falling through the cracks. No one's ever heard them, and they're just there, sort of thing. So, it's very nice knowing, man, and humbling that Jelly has an influence in that intro. Yeah. It worked, yes. Because we were like, what can we do at the start?
But
that's sick.
I saw like some songs that I didn't know that you were part of, but like I saw that you mixed like one of Lakhvinder Vardali's song.
Yeah,
he even like mentions you in the song. So I was like, you got how did that work out?
So that was just through a mutual friend. So Lakhvinder Paji was touring, and I'm not gonna lie, I've chased a lot of singers in my time because we're so far away, you don't get these opportunities. So I'll try and find a connection. I'll be like, hey, I really want to do a track with so-and-so or whatever. And sometimes it works, whatever. People are willing to collaborate. Sometimes artists don't want to collaborate. I don't know what the reason for that is. Maybe for them it's a risk working with someone they don't know. And they're like, that sort of thing. So, I always reach out and what's the worst that could happen? Like say no, whatever. And that's because another reason is because we're in Australia, we don't have access to artists like that. There are now new artists that are coming through, but traditionally, a lot of the artists from India, Punjab, or the UK, and now Canada and USA as well. So, my mate told me that Vardali Sahab was coming, and just spoke to Lakhvinder Paji and made the track, and he put it on his album.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
I was just like, wow, okay, cool. Not very nice of him, actually. Very nice. Because like I've been rejected a lot of times, and it's nice when you don't get rejected. it's a good feeling.
You're passionate. We like that.
Exactly. But a lot of people don't see that passion, so they sort of just like, I've got... I don't want to get into too much. This is the juicy stuff, right? But like, I've got messages from singers like that I've heard, because there's a few tracks that I've done. I've done this track with Parithar Pal called Law. And a few other tracks, Ahavaliya and so forth. But I've got messages in my inbox of people, talking about the track and whatnot. And then me messaging back and thank you and everything. And then later on, these people have become singers, right? And then I've messaged back, but that's it. Sort of thing, dead end. And then they, I don't know if they're too busy in the, multi-million-dollar lifestyle, flying private jets. But it's funny because, it's just the way our people, once they get a bit of fame, this is what happens to them, which is sad, but
They'll be back when they want that boat track. Yeah. They're gonna be like, I need a track like that.
Yeah. I mean,
who knows? You might find another Bakshi Billa too, right?
Never know. But yeah, look, it's that's how that hookup happened, and the rest is history.
That's cool. I mean, is that how you also seeked out Pindar Jat too? Like,
yeah. So I literally was like, where is this guy? He hasn't been around for years. And then I slowly, just through social media, you know, we connected. Because he's an OG.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the song you made is good.
California. It's a good track.
Yeah. Cheers, man. Yeah. And then we just got started talking and I was like, let's do a track. So we've done two tracks now. Hopefully more in the future.
Yeah.
I just told Paddy, I said, Paddy, you just need to be a little bit more, you know, social media savvy. I think he's a bit like busy to go on and post stuff because, you know, obviously he's got his own, whatever he's doing, he's busy with that.
Yeah.
But he can make a comeback anytime. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
He's got the talent.
We got to see him make a comeback at a RAF show in SF.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. He brought out Brenda Chad and he also brought out Jazzy B.
Yeah, we've seen that. They're on the stage, right? Yeah. Sitting and doing bowling.
They were on the stage at one point together, and that's never been done. Which is just wild.
Yeah.
But just having Pindar Jat sing, is Jat Diyan Boliyan is like, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's funny because a lot of the, like, a few of the younger generation I've spoken to, they haven't heard Paji's voice.
Mm-hmm.
But then you play a song and they go, oh, that's
yeah. Pindar Jat. They don't know the name.
Yeah, the song. Like, so
yeah.
I just, you know, it'd be good to bring him back into the limelight and educate some of these younger kids, which I think is, you know, it's important for our culture.
It's funny, actually, like that show that we're referring to is actually what sparked this podcast because we were talking about it on the drive back. Yeah, so I mean, I was a fan of Raf's, his first big project, Rough Around the Edges, that whole mixtape, was like my introduction to him, as a younger generation artist who is tapped in with both like modern type music, hip hop, rap, but also with, you know, he's classically trained.
He's so versatile.
Yeah. Like really great folk artist, great folk voice, like all that. And so, yeah, like you mentioned, like when he brought Pindar Jat out, I'll be honest, I didn't know who he was. I was like, who's that? And someone was standing next to me, he's like, that's Pindar Jat. I was like, I've heard of him.
Yeah, and then now you know Pindar Jat.
Yeah, and it's just like, that's the whole reason why, one of the reasons why I wanted to start this with Simran and later on with Slams is I learned so much from them, right? Because they're probably a generation above me and they passed down all this knowledge of folk music, which I love so much, like starting with the OGs from, you know, Monik and Jamkila and Sardul Sikandar, and like, you know, throughout our Punjabi music history, it's been a crazy like evolution.
Also, we're also lucky where we live, so I feel like we get a lot of people that, you know, come here and we, you know, he saw you on like Instagram on the story and he's there, like
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was just on a whim. I honestly wasn't, because like we've reached out to a bunch of artists too to get them on the podcast, and for one reason or another, like some response.
Too busy, you know what it feels like, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Definitely. So my thing is like I'm always gonna like, you know, reach out.
Yeah.
Worst thing they can say is no, or they ignore it, and that's fine. So when I saw you in Sacramento, and I was like, oh, this guy's from Australia. Yeah. Like, who knows when he's going to be back here?
And I don't know where my wife will let me come back. I might have to bring her with me next time, and the girls. Yeah. So no, it's cool, man. Like, and my thing was to come out here and make the most of it. So it's not really a holiday, but it is sort of thing. But it was more of like a getting out and, you know, networking and, you know, meeting you guys, because obviously I've seen your podcast with obviously with Slams as well, so it's cool, man. Like it's and now that I know you guys, if you ever come to Australia, obviously
definitely we'll reach out
and be my guest. But absolutely, it's good, it's connecting with like-minded individuals, which is cool. And we have to, like, sort of sometimes we have to go far and wide to find that. In this case, Australia, California, you know what I mean?
So,
and I think like something like this, we need to start in Australia as well, like a podcast. You guys have, you know, taken a great step in doing this.
It's,
it, opens up a lot of doors.
No, like, I think the most important thing about this is just showcasing our artists, right? Like, so many people don't know, like, somebody who made music, like, 20 years ago, right? Like,
well, people don't even know Adan Dola.
Yeah.
Like, I met someone the other day. He's like, oh, so you produce music? I was like, yeah. So what tracks have you done? I was like, I don't know if you know Raf Sapir, but I just produced Patola. It was his last, well, the second last track now.
Yeah.
But he's like, you made Patola? I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, wow. So, and then people, it's funny because people have a different perception of you then. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
But it's cool. But like, love is love, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm very blessed and grateful. And,
I mean, a lot of people don't know even who Raf is.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, he was
like an older generation, like our parents.
Yeah.
Mostly, I think, like if I, not now my parents know, obviously, because I don't track with them. But like, if I were to tell them, you know, there's this guy singing out of the UK and this is his voice, they would not match the voice to the
no, they won't.
The image, right?
Yeah, the face, yeah.
And that he's like I was saying, he's so versatile to be able to sing in so many different styles, different genres. Now he's releasing like a love ballad, Sufi type album.
It's dropping on Friday. Actually,
He's doing things that like I feel like I want to see from other artists.
Yeah,
but he pushes. I mean, he's basically representing the culture.
Yeah,
he's showing like. You never hear an artist sing a Sufi song.
No.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's badass.
It's more like Chakadunga, Chakadunga, you know, like that's what we hear in our side, you know, like Bandaman, that.
Yeah. Those, even like a ghazal, like hearing like a ghazal, man, you don't even hear that anymore.
Yeah, very rare.
Very
rare.
It's like, maybe like, I feel like right now, maybe Sartaj is the only guy who sings like that. Sartaj would
be, number one. And even like Raj Brad's son. Josh Brad, I think.
Okay, he dropped that one song.
That's a different vibe altogether as well. He's good, man.
I was trying to get Raf, I remember, for my Jago, but my dad got Kanwar Garewal.
So oh, really?
It was like, it was like for him. It's for him. So I was like, whatever.
Different vibe. See, the oldies would love that.
He didn't know who Raf was.
Exactly.
He's like, Kanwar Garewal is Kanwar Garewal. He's like, a different style.
Maybe for Lodi.
Huh?
Maybe for Lodi can get Raf.
Yeah, no, that would be incredible. Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's cool, man.
Yeah, no, obviously we're really glad that we made this happen. I know it was a very short notice.
You boys, you know, for making it happen. It worked out well because I'm flying out in literally like three or four hours. And then for you guys to be able to, you know, organize it on such short notice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I appreciate you guys having me and you guys are repping the culture. Keep doing it, you know.
Appreciate
like, I'm not the only one. Like, just because you make music or sing, you guys are doing your part. Everyone's got their part. Because if there's no point us doing what we do if no one's going to shine it on a bigger stage, right?
Yeah.
I can make music till I'm 90, but if there's no one to show it to the world, then you better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you guys have got just an important part in the industry. So, keep doing what you guys are doing, man.
Yeah, no, that means a lot, man. We appreciate it.
No worries at all. And once again, if you're ever in Australia and you want to see a kangaroo or koala, you know, hit me up. We got kangaroos where we live, just hopping on the side of the road and whatnot.
Yeah.
And
so, it's like they have like something out there called like a platypus or something like
that. Platypus, Oh, you don't have platypus? Platypus? No, right. I don't think. So it's like a weed. It's like a I think it's a mammal.
It's like a beaver.
A beaver sort of thing.
It's like a duck.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it looks like a Pokemon to me.
Yeah, it actually does. I think they modeled a Pokemon off it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I went through that phase as well, the Pokemon trading cards and whatnot. So,
So we'll wrap it up here with one thing we've done in the past with our guests is we'll do a little speed round here with a few quick questions for you just to close it off. So the first one being, who's been your most played artist recently? Just someone that you've been really like, someone that's been hitting for you recently.
Recently, I think always and recently is, there's a few, right? Bindra Kia Jazzy Me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're the main ones. Because of my work as well, being a DJ, I play a lot of them as well.
Yeah.
So naturally, but I'd say, Bindra Kia would have to be probably number one.
Bindra Kia. The GOAT, in my opinion.
The best ever.
Yeah, the greatest of all time,
I mean, every song he's dropped has, it's always a hit. Yeah. I don't know. There's like one song that it's is crazy. Like not like a freaking.
No, you know? Like they all like, and the older you go in his catalog, the better the songs get.
Yeah. Legend. An artist that is, in your opinion, underrated, or maybe somebody that you think is up and coming that people should know about or watch out for.
That's a good question. I think that's a really good question, actually. Because of social media, a lot of people know about them now.
Yeah, for sure.
The artists,
but like, still, like someone who's maybe just underrated,
or someone that you think should get more respect, not representative. Than they do, or
maybe he's an Australian artist that out here. We
someone that you think people should keep an eye on the radar.
I think I'm going to go with GC Duke because I think he's got the perfect launching pad. But I think he's going to go on to like some big stuff now. So
I think,
especially with like the older generation, like our parents and stuff, I think he's going to be known to them more and more soon as well. So I'll say GC Duke.
Shout out to GC Duke, man.
He's awesome.
Finally, who is somebody that you would like to see us have on the podcast next, and would you be able to help us get connected?
Okay. I think you guys need to that's a good question. You have to, obviously, you haven't had Jazzy on yet, right?
We have not, no.
Hit your boy Slams up, man. Yeah, hit Slams, him up.
He's he'll come to California every now and then for weddings and shows and whatnot. So hopefully we'll catch him.
You guys need to get pinned up on you on.
Yeah, that's another one.
I can make a few phone calls.
Yeah.
For sure. Local.
We got a very mobile setup. We thankfully were able to find the studio last minute close to the airport so we could accommodate you, and we just brought all our stuff here.
Right,
so.
Here a plane right now.
There you go.
I reckon get one of those two boys. OGs and
Like last question too. Who's like your like top three artists, like
producers or singers?
Let's hear both, producer and singer.
Producers, I would have to say probably True School.
Okay.
Legend. Sukshin Dushinda. And let's say, I'm going to say Amon Hez.
I was going to say Amon Hez.
Even Dr. Zeus, these guys. Shout out top to Zeus. Four, there you go.
I'm in here.
They're the
OGs.
The Clutch Crew.
Yeah.
I'm in here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I have an old VHS tape I got to pull out. I mean, I've been messing with it, but I'm in here. Used to be totally for Suffery Boys.
Yeah, back in the day, right?
So I got like a video with like him playing Dole before he was I'm in here.
Oh, so they came over here?
Huh? He can't. Yeah. So for the UPC Medla, they brought Balwinder Suffery and his boys, and it was like literally like listening to something from a CD.
That's
it.
Was so you guys have the Singi Group of California as well back in the day. I remember. That's going back a bit. But I remember like growing up when the internet just started. There's a website called Punjab Online, and like they were saying
that was
a classic.
Lal Singh Patti had a Sangeet group.
That was his group.
You guys gotta be
One of the guys local from Yuba.
Next time I'll definitely come to Yuba. Let me know when the Mela is on the negative.
No, it's a time.
World famous.
And like your top three artists?
Singers.
At the moment, like alive? Let's go alive. Let's say Jazzy, Gurdas Mar, and Harjeet Harman.
That's a good one.
A curveball there.
I'd
love to do a track with Harjeet Harman.
Like,
he's got that sort of in his voice, is like he's got a bit of everything in his voice. Batavia, you know.
It's like that a song I really like from is Jat Jovi Kehta.
That's a classic. Play it on DJ anytime. So, they're the ones they'll be great to work with one day.
Yeah.
See, here we go.
All we'll see that, you know, maybe in our life. Yeah. Right?
One day. Got some stuff coming out.
You said you can go till 90, so yeah.
Yeah, look. Hopefully, I'll survive this Brazil trip next week. Then I'll be on that. But yeah, see how we go. But yeah, it's good. Like, for me, it's not like I don't do this full time. So yeah. Like, I do it when I get chance, you know, when I get chance with the family and stuff. So yeah, hopefully keep doing it for a while and see how we go.
Yeah, well, we're going to be right there pushing you and cheers, supporting your music. Cheers,
appreciate the support, man. Yeah. I really do. Anytime, once again, you're welcome to Australia.
Definitely.
Yeah. We'd love to do a podcast out there, man. That would be sick. So
definitely.
Yeah, well, thank you again.
Cool. Thank you very much for
fitting us into your schedule. Thank you guys for listening and watching. Be sure to like, subscribe, all that stuff.
Yeah, comment and subscribe. It helps the algorithm.
But yeah, thank you guys, and we'll see you in the next one.